Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Joe Hart, CEO of Dale Carnegie, and we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence, or AI. You know, AI is changing the way people live and work. It's promising massive advancements in predictability, productivity, and personalizations. And companies, of course, are eager to employ it. But business leaders who hope to benefit from AI's full potential, including those responsible for developing human capital, have a lot to think about. Joe and I are going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how experts expect AI to impact the human workforce and presents Dale Carnegie's latest research into employee attitudes towards AI, the skills that will be needed to maximize the human-machine partnerships of the future, and what C-level and HRLD professionals can do to ensure success. So let's welcome our guest, Joe Hart. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Good to speak with you.
Yeah, good to speak with you, and welcome back. We're very excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with you.
Well, you know, Dale Carnegie has always been a leader when it comes to looking ahead. And I guess one of the things that I think about when we're talking about this white paper, which is what we're going to be discussing, titled Beyond Technology, Preparing People for Success in the Era of AI, why did Dale Carnegie look at this and say, hey, this is important?
So, David, we've, as Dale Carnegie, taken the lead in all kinds of things that affected human performance and potential in the workplace for over 100 years. And we've seen a lot of trends. I mean, trends over decades, and it's something that we've always had a point of view about. And clearly, AI is something that is getting a lot of attention. We don't claim to be experts on AI per se, but where we are experts is really in the area of how different things are affecting people in the workplace and things that companies can do proactively to prepare to be able to, you know, maximize the results and help their people thrive.
You know, we're calling this the fourth industrial revolution. When we're looking at AI, there's some, if you want to call it, concerns, some thoughts like, is this going to take my job? Is this going to be something that really changes the fundamental way people work? What's your thought on that?
You know, it's an interesting question because, you know, people have different perceptions about what AI is, and people think about, you know, Terminator, The Matrix, all these different kind of movies and so forth. But our belief is that there are significant opportunities for people in the workplace as long as they can be resilient and can adapt to changes. And, you know, frankly, there are opportunities as companies continue to bring different technologies into the workforce to help people have more meaning in their work and to be more productive. I mean, so for example, if in fact AI, we're talking about systems that can automate and act intelligently in different cases, but if these are systems that can take away mundane activities that we go through, what it does then is it allows people to be able to focus on really higher, more meaningful aspects of work, and we see that as an opportunity. So,
yeah, when you're talking, you know, higher, more meaningful aspects of work, can you, like, you know, because people listening on the radio, they're going, so, okay, so what exactly would this be doing, and how do I interact with a machine? I mean, that's just a basic question, right? It's kind of one of those, and I'm not asking the technical nature because, you know, we're not talking about the technical side, but from a human perspective, we think about, really, am I going to be working next to machines that are doing things like this?
Yeah, so I think there's different ways to look at that. You know, I mean, we already are, in a sense, working with machines, if you will, or software that is automating different kinds of processes. And in many cases, we don't even realize it. Many kind of software that we use every single day, mapping software, you know, YouTube or Amazon, software that will suggest or recommend different kinds of things in the consumer area. I mean, those are things that are there right now. And it, when we talk about the workplace, you know, I think what we're talking about are predominantly, and this is where AI is better, if you will. AI is better at things that are predictable, at processing or collecting data, at things that are, you know, more routine. And where humans are more effective are in areas that involve creativity, social intelligence, resilience, those kinds of things, emotional intelligence. You know, so what we're talking about might be, you know, not at least in the immediate term, machines per se that are working alongside us, as much as we're talking about software or other kinds of tools that we might use that really, I think, are going to help serve employees in the workforce.
So Dale Carnegie provided or looked at this overall process, this way that we're preparing people for success. Why a research? Why going to a survey? What made Dale Carnegie decide to do this and partner with an organization to get results?
Well, so David, we have almost 90 countries around the world. We work with top companies and hundreds of thousands of people every year. So there's a lot that we know by our direct experience. There's a lot that we see. We work with top leaders and so forth. And at the same time, we think it's important to have empirical validation, if you will, not just kind of anecdotally what we're seeing, but we wanted to go and to take it a step further. So we conducted a survey, 3,500 people in 11 countries, people in the workplace. This is ranging from people who have no direct reports to CEOs and managers and so forth. So, you know, we wanted to really take an empirical look at what people were thinking and feeling and what's happening, you know, from a data standpoint.
Well, you know, that kind of data may seem exciting or depressing depending upon your point of view. How do people feel about advancements in AI based on the research?
Well, there's a couple of things that we found, and we were looking at regions in Asia-Pacific, the Americas, Europe, and kind of in the aggregate. And, you know, I mean, what's not a surprise is that 82% of all people surveyed acknowledge that AI will fundamentally change how we work, live and work in the next 10 years, and that would be people who either strongly agree or agree that's the case. In terms of how they feel, you know, it really depends upon who you're asking. At the aggregate level, most people feel positive. You could say about 70% of people, you know, feel that AI would be able to take routine tasks and it would let them work on more meaningful work. But as we go into deeper levels of questioning and we ask about how people feel with some of the, you know, director interaction, we find that people at different levels of a company might have more concern than others. Individual contributors typically have, you know, more concern than, say, directors or vice presidents. So it's a little bit of a mix, David, but, you know, by and large, it's positive. And the good news is that, you know, there are ways that companies can prepare their people to be more positive and to thrive with new technologies.
Is there any thought in the research, and again, I'm looking at the white paper now, as to why different areas of the globe, Europe, the Americas, Asia Pacific, have such a different perspective, if you want to say, on how they feel? Have you seen, as you talk to the European counterparts, the franchisers in Europe or Asia, is it just an acceptance level? Is there a difference in expectations? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's both of those things, David. It's the acceptance level, it's expectations, it's culture. You know, so in different environments, I was in Japan talking about AI in August, and I mean, there's just a different cultural viewpoint about organization and hierarchy and so forth, and that might be different than, say, Latin America or in Europe or the U.S. So there definitely are nuances in places where there are differences. But at the same time, there was a lot of similarity. So when we looked across, you know, all the regions of the world, for example, when we asked, you know, will AI fundamentally change how we work and live in the next 10 years, the aggregate numbers of people saying they would strongly agree or somewhat agree are fairly close. You know, people in the Americas felt that there would be, you know, agreed with that more, and maybe that's just because of more, you know, connectivity and experience. Same with Asia Pacific, maybe less so a little bit in Europe, but not tremendously by a lot.
You know, it's interesting, and that's always the case, I think, is that, you know, people have accepted different levels of oversight or different level of technology, and there can be some argument as to where, I bet you would see the difference in each state you went to in terms of the
yes.
percentages. It just, if you want to call it perceptions, if nothing else, in terms of where it is. But we're really talking about, if you want to say, something that some people are a little skeptical on. Right? They're a little skeptical and in some way maybe a little scared. Do you think they should be, and does the research kind of indicate that maybe over time that this fear will subside?
So the question of whether or not people should be concerned, I think back about just changes, and we talk about this being the fourth, you know, kind of industrial revolution, if you will. I mean, there have been changes for centuries, right, in terms of technologies. And I think back even to the 1800s where, you know, when the power loom was introduced, people were concerned about how that would affect their jobs. And ultimately, you know, people survived and thrived, and the same thing happened with the automobile and so forth. So, you know, I think there's a natural tendency that people have to fear change. And at the same time, history has shown us that change has, by and large, led to opportunity. It's led to greater productivity, higher standards of living. So, I think people can choose how they wish to respond to it or feel about it. I think there's definitely reason for optimism, particularly as we think about ways that, technology can help. And I think, you know, David, just one example, you know, in your space, and you've got a lot of HR, you know, listeners, and certainly one of the very tedious things that can be difficult is recruiting. And there are software systems that leverage AI that will make recruiting and interviewing and hiring faster and easier. So already we're seeing that in a number of different areas, and I think specifically about, not just software that can analyze, you know, resumes and do contextual searches and things like that. I mean, you know, if you take it to the next level, I mean, there's other kinds of systems that will assist actually in the interviewing process with video interviewing and analyzing and offering input to potential recruiters relative to a person's truthfulness and so forth. And I mean, so there's a lot of different things that would be there. But going back to your original question, David, I think, you know, so there's a lot of reason for optimism for employees. And at the same time, you know, people really do need to think about, you know, what it means to them and where they need to change, because there may be a need for someone to improve their skill set, for example, so that they can adapt to a changing workforce.
You know, I think that's probably the key, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. You know, I'm going to leave with a quote from Dale Carnegie, which is, keep your mind open to change all the time. It is the only by examining and re-examining your opinions and ideas that you can progress. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsinme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Joe Hart. He is the CEO of Dale Carnegie, and I am your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. You know, Joe, we're talking about AI. We're talking about the fourth industrial revolution. We're talking about beyond technology, preparing people for success in the era of AI. It's a white paper done by Dale Carnegie. You know, I got to tell you, people have continuously say that, hey, this is something that we have to be serious about. And I'm glad that Dale Carnegie has conducted the survey. Tell me a little bit about the survey. Tell me a little about the participants, the assumptions that were made, the validity. People always ask these questions when it comes to surveys.
Yeah, sure. So we have a person, we've got a research team, and the person who leads that team is Dr. Mark Marone. He had led the survey and the development of the survey, and ultimately, a statistical sample of 3,500 people in 11 countries was identified. We had reached out to people at different levels within organizations, so it's not just a single view. I mean, it includes managers and vice presidents and CEOs, as well as non-managers and people who have no direct reports. And again, we looked at 11 different countries because we wanted to see not just what it looks like in the United States, but because Dale Carnegie is a global business in almost 90 countries, you know, what are perceptions in the major regions of the world, Asia-Pacific, Latin America, Europe, Middle East, and Africa, as well as North America.
You know, it's interesting. Surveys, as we all know, are important. But they also make people ask questions, right? They say, okay, so at each level, is there a survey breakdown by level, or is it just simply at a core level? Is there going to be follow-up research, I guess, is the answer to the question.
So there was a lot more research conducted, and we put together, really the most salient findings in the white paper, and certainly the white paper is available for anyone who would like to download it at dalecarnegie.com. But, research is something we're always doing, and not just on AI, but another a range of different topics, cultural blind spots, leadership, other types of things. So this is an ongoing project. It's not a one-time report, if you will.
You know, one of the survey results which says, while recent study of HR leaders and employees suggests that 9 in 10 are ready to accept orders from robots at work, our research reveals a lingering hesitancy to accept AI in other areas. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So some of the underlying issues around AI go to trust and transparency. So when we talk about, a performance appraisal. I mean, are you going to be eventually, or would any of us be reviewed as a result of a system? And if we were, part of what we'd want to know are what are the standards by which we're reviewed and how are these conclusions being drawn and so forth. So, so part of this is really understanding what the criteria is and making sure that things are transparent. One of the challenges with AI, if you will, is that we're dealing with algorithms, and often those algorithms might be unclear in terms of how they're written and what they're evaluating, and there are definitely concerns that people have around bias and really what is being done. So, I mean, those are things that can, to some degree, be overcome, but that's something that people are really concerned about.
What would make people more positive about AI overall?
In the workplace?
Yes.
There are a few things that I think can make people more positive. And even this conversation kind of, you know, reveals, you know, part of the opportunity, because when people talk about AI, it's a term, it's a big term, and really it's not even clearly well defined. So, you know, part of what the opportunity is for leaders in the workforce, I mean, number one, it's even before we talk about AI, is to have a foundation of trust. So do employees trust their managers? Do they trust their leaders, the people who are making decisions about the business? And this is something, David, that we've talked about, I think, on our last call about engagement and things that drive engagement. I mean, clearly that level of trust is a critical factor. But then when we get into this conversation about AI specifically, is having greater transparency, so defining what it is that we're talking about or is being talked about in a specific work environment, how decisions are made, how systems will be used, and just really having kind of an ongoing communication with employees about what's happening in the workforce. And really, this is just one more thing that might be happening. There's lots of things happening at any time in the workforce. This is one. But having that strong communication so people have visibility and continued trust. And a third thing is really helping employees feel like the employer is going to support them. Support them in terms of training. Support them in terms of their ability to transition. And really investing. And that's one of the things that our survey had talked about, is people expect to get training essentially from their employer in this. They're looking to their employer as the workplace changes to help them be able to change and to adapt, you know, with those different things in the workforce.
You know, it's interesting. This is a lot like what has been happening for a number of years, of course. You know, I think about manufacturing, of course, and we work with a number of manufacturers across the Northeast, and we do see employees that maybe don't have a college education, maybe they didn't even graduate from high school, and they're working these machines, and they've worked these machines 20, 30, maybe even 40 years or more. And suddenly automation comes in, right? And they have a computer now as part of that technology, and they're flustered, and there's a skills gap, right, that is happening. And I think when you're thinking about AI, some people are saying, well, is this going to create even more of a skills gap? And then technology really makes it even more of a challenge. If you look at the research, what does it say in regards to that employees are going to feel more comfortable if they get the right type of training? And how can Dale Carnegie help with that?
Yeah, so the research is clear. The people are receptive to these changes in the workplace. This is not a situation where people are folding their arms and just saying no. They recognize that the workplace is changing, society is changing, it's all around us. And they see, and they're positive, that there are opportunities, you know, with this. So part of that then is making sure that the employer is supporting them, and I think if they feel that support, then that's something that can help them be more receptive. In terms of Dale Carnegie, you know, the biggest part of where AI cannot play today is around things that involve social intelligence, creative intelligence, you know, emotional intelligence, those kinds of things. And in fact, we part of what we looked at in terms of the survey is the skills that really will matter the most as the economy and business changes. Those skills involve things like communication and creativity and critical thinking and leadership and teamwork. And those are things that are all trainable, are all teachable. And in fact, you asked about what Dale Carnegie can do. I mean, that's the essence of what we do, and that's the essence of what we've done for over 100 years, is really to bring out the best in people so that they can communicate and articulate clearly, so that they can be more creative, that they can work together with others more effectively and have influence and so forth. So we're finding many companies coming to us today specifically for this reason. They're saying, how do we help our people be more resilient? How do we create a culture of trust? How do we invest so that people can communicate, you know, more effectively with one another and work more effectively with one another? So these are places that we have been playing and continue to play today.
You mentioned in your conversation as part of the data that different levels have different trust. So directors and above, according to the research, I noticed 64% basically say they trust. Well, the question was, do you trust current leaders to make the right decision about implementing AI? Directors and above, 64%, managers, 48%, individual contributors, 26%. I think that's logical based upon levels within the organization. What type of training do you think is needed most today to get people to adopt or adapt to that type of change?
There are a number of different components. I think that confidence is part of it. You know, we talk in Dale Carnegie about attitude. We have a cycle of performance, so we talk about attitude, knowledge, and skill. And so the first thing is that people need to have an attitude that's a receptive attitude, and that's an attitude of confidence and openness to change. Just as the quote that you read a moment ago from Dale Carnegie about, you know, courting change, being open to change. You know, so part of it is for people to have that openness. And so, this is a problem that happens, you know, all the time, where management will come out and say, this is what we're going to do, and really without the context about what that means to the individual or to the team. And so the attitude component of this is just absolutely vital. Really spending time as a leadership to think about how we're communicating and how we are working with our employees alongside, that we're working together in this process of becoming a better organization, a more effective organization, a more productive organization. So a big part of that is around attitude. And then, of course, having the, you know, really talking about the knowledge and the skills and making sure that people have the knowledge about what new jobs, new roles will be, and the skills to succeed in those environments.
We're going to talk about in the next segment the specifics in regards to which skills do you feel are important to work alongside AI. We're going to have that conversation. But Joe, as we wrap up this section for a few minutes, you know, when you came in as CEO of Dale Carnegie 3-4 years ago, did you think AI would have such a big factor in what Dale Carnegie is thinking about in the future?
That's a good question.
Thank you. I worked real hard on that one.
Yeah, I can see why you're in charge of the show here, David. I've got to think about that because, you know, when I came in, I was thinking, I don't think I was thinking specifically about AI. And I think that it's more been something that has come up as we have conducted research about things that are of concern to people and to leaders and so forth. So we've talked to leaders. So, technology is part of my background before I came here. And so technology has always been, you know, part of my thinking. In terms of AI specifically in the workplace, I think that's been kind of an evolving thought. And it certainly is one that is a very prominent thought right now, and that's why, you know, we're excited to be in the forefront of this discussion.
You know, I guess the point is how fast it's evolved, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Here you have a background in dealing with technology, and even 3-4 years ago, while it was something that was being discussed, it's really come on very, very strong in the last few years. And I think that's the point, right, is that's why we're talking about it. It's because the speed of change. I mean, we see it in our phones, right? Every year it's, that phone changes. And who would have envisioned that we would use facial recognition versus a thumbprint? Only within 2 years. It's like,
true.
It's common sense, right? Or you
no,
go
right.
on social media and you know, I put in, you know, you put anybody in a photo, it instantly recognizes it, who that person is. That's pretty amazing change and mm-hmm. rapid change if you think about it.
It absolutely is. You're absolutely right. And that change, and it's interesting that you point to this window, and I think you're right. You know, the last 2 to 3 years in particular have seen very significant developments in technology and how that technology applies to the workforce, and it is only going to get a lot faster, and we can definitely see that right now.
There's no question. Well, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Joe Hart. He is the CEO of Dale Carnegie. We're talking about a white paper called Beyond Technology, Preparing People for Success in the Era of AI. I'm your host, David Chulo, and thank you and welcome to the HR Power Hour here on WLOB and across the country. You know, we're very excited to have you on, Joe. We've talked about a topic here that is just, you know, as we mentioned at the end of the last segment, just rapidly evolving. You know, one of the things that I had asked during the break was, you know, is there an example currently that you have seen that you could share with the audience where you've seen firsthand AI to the forefront of working side by side with people and making a difference?
Yes, and as fate would have it, I was in a automotive plant in Tennessee on Friday, and I've been in many automotive plants, being from the Detroit area, and have seen assembly lines and so forth. What I saw on Friday was pretty incredible. I mean, not just the complexity about the, you know, how the, and the sophistication of how these cars are being assembled, but literally robots working, if you will, side by side with people. In fact, there were these kind of automated robotic carts, if you will, that were pulling car parts from one part of the plant to the other part of the plant on their own. I mean, people weren't even involved. Until they would pull up, and then people would, you know, the workers would get what they needed, and then these things would keep on going. But it was pretty incredible to see that, and that I think it's a glimpse more in terms of what the future is going to be like.
I think you're right, and you know, we talked about a little bit in the last segment, but I want to get into a little more depth now, is those skills that are going to be important for working alongside AI. And according to the research, we see communication skills, creativity, critical thinking, leadership skills, and teamwork. Tell me a little about the survey results and how you think some of the Dale Carnegie training can really impact an individual to work better alongside AI technology.
Sure. So the survey was looking at, that we asked executives, VP level executives, specifically what skills do you feel will be important for working alongside AI. And as you correctly said, communication skills, creativity, some of those were the ones that came up. And part of why this is important is because we have to understand what roles, the software and other things are taking off of the plate, so to speak. So we're talking, at least, you know, for the current period of time, around things that are mundane, data processing, systematic, et cetera. So what that's going to do is then put employees in a position where they will have the opportunity to do, you know, more sophisticated, higher level, more cerebral kind of work, and they've got to be prepared for that. And part of that really then involves how they interact with other people more effectively. So the communication skills and communication with other people and communication in light of change. And change, we know, can create anxiety. You know, so part of this is around, you know, just even building emotional resilience, building confidence, as well as communication skills, how I am interacting with other people. And that's something that Dale Carnegie has done for over 100 years. And it's something, frankly, just using the auto plant as an example, you know, they have, you know, teams of people going through Dale Carnegie programs. And for exactly that reason, for exactly the reason of helping people have greater empathy toward each other, especially in when there's you know, changes in the workplace, the ability to communicate more effectively by understanding and listening and demonstrating appreciation and so forth, and by really having a better sense of how to work together to deliver higher performance. So we have a whole range of programs that we are putting in place with companies. These can be standard or customized and tailored specifically or contextualized around the work environment for that company. And but we're talking about exactly those kinds of skills that people are going to need as they evolve. Part of it would be, you know, those things. We've got different programs in leadership, programs for emerging leaders, people who've basically just become, they've been promoted, they've done really well, and we know that transition from being an existing high performer to being a new leader can be very difficult, especially when you're dealing with, now you've got peers who are reporting to you. We've got programs that help drive even stronger performance from existing leaders, really it's unlocking that greatness that people have at higher levels of leadership so they can really deliver stronger results. And then the third thing I'd say, too, is we know that communication is so important, and we also know that technology has hindered the ability that people have to interact with each other. We interact with each other through devices, through social media, through other kinds of things, and being able to do that more effectively and to be able to stand up in a meeting or in front of others and to give really a powerful presentation, I mean, these are things we're talking about, expressing ideas and so forth, that are, you know, these are cornerstones of what we do at Dale Carnegie.
There's no question that soft skills are going to be absolutely necessary. One of the things that I know maybe people haven't thought about in regards to AI is the leadership skills that are going to change. Because you're going to be managing not only people, but the interaction between people and technology. You know, that's just a fact, right, in terms of dealing
sure.
with how it's going to be. Do you see any change in the need for what people are going to have to learn? Or do you think that something that's been consistent in how we teach leadership training is going to be still viable for the future?
Yeah, I think it's not only going to be viable. The principles of leadership don't necessarily change. The context around leadership, the situations around leadership, those things change. But the principles of human performance, the principles of leadership, you know, remain the same. And so part of this is around, you know, building trust. In what ways do I need to build trust? Can I build trust as a leader? Because ultimately, that's the foundation. If I don't have trust, then I'm not going to have anything. And so when there are changes in a workforce, people will evaluate everything that we say and do relative to those changes in terms of whether or not I'm going to follow this leadership or accept this leadership. So how leaders think about building trust, how they think about communicating, how they think about transparency, how they think about working together and engaging people, I mean, those things are will be even more important because they will have to happen amidst much change in the workforce.
Do you see that this is even viable at the school level? Let's drop back a minute outside the workforce and drop back and say, okay, preparation at the elementary, at the middle, at the high school, and even at the college level. And how can that be looked at today to be viable for tomorrow in terms of that type of soft skill development?
It's interesting because in some ways we've got people who are younger, people of school age and higher, who are very familiar and very comfortable with a lot of the technology changes that are occurring. And where they would say that many of them that they are lacking is in the interpersonal skills, the way to connect with people, because the way that they're interacting with people is different many times, and then they get into a workforce environment, and they're forced to be in situations where they're face-to-face or they're interacting with people in a different kind of way and so forth. So many companies have told us, many leaders have told us, that newer people into the workforce are not as prepared as they would have liked for many of the aspects that are required to build a team and have an effective team. And many young people have said the same thing. And so we know that there's a gap. The gap is around, I mean, you've got a technology understanding and sophistication at one level, and a gap in terms of, not always, but in many cases, just really how do I relate to other people? How do I communicate with other people? How do I connect with other people? How do I deal with anxiety that I might have in a social setting? How do I deal with anxiety that I've got in a work setting? So how do I deal with the stress that I have and the worry that I have and so forth? So clearly, the degree to which younger people can get these skills is important. Frankly, that's something that we've been doing as Dale Carnegie. We do have programs for youth, for teens. In fact, when I was in Tennessee last week, one of the things I was at talking to the dean of business at Middle Tennessee State University, they have made the Dale Carnegie program a requirement for all business students. And I met a number of those business students who were thrilled that that's actually part of their curriculum. In fact, you know, many had said it's the best course that they'll take in their entire, you know, college experience.
There's no question. The sooner they learn, the better. You know, I always talk about my godson who was 13. And very shy, very, you know, wouldn't get up or stand. And we put him in a Dale Carnegie course. It was originally going to be the Gen Next, but scheduling was a problem. So we said, let's put him right in the regular course, right, the regular eight-week program. And now he's the first person up in school. He's the first person talking. And what a change around it has made. So it is transformational, even for children.
That's a great story, David. And I can tell you from my own experience, I mean, with I have six children, and my two oldest have gone through the Dale Carnegie course, one who's a junior in college, one who's 19, and it's been a game changer for both of them in terms of just, you know, they both stood up in front of audiences of 400 or 500 people and with confidence that they didn't have to do that before they took a Dale Carnegie program. So it's definitely something that's been helpful.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we've been talking with Joe Hart, CEO of Dale Carnegie. We've been talking about beyond technology, preparing people for success in the era of AI. Joe, as we wrap up the show today in the last 5 minutes, I know we've had a great discussion about AI, but I think I'm just going to ask you a general question. How's Dale Carnegie doing worldwide?
Thank you for asking. We're doing great. As an organization, we continue to expand and to open new regions, and the existing offices that we have are growing. We're finding a great demand for the kinds of things that we're doing, whether it's around the Dale Carnegie course or our leadership programs, our sales programs, high impact presentation programs. It's really it's a great time to be a part of Dale Carnegie.
What are some of the solutions that you think Dale Carnegie is going to provide in the future that currently, maybe things that we're looking at long term?
Yeah, I think we're looking at different ways that we can connect with people, potentially different platforms or ways that we can stay even more engaged with our graduates, if you will. And we call people today graduates of the Dale Carnegie program, and at the same time, it's really, you're not really a graduate. We're all on stages of our own development. So what we're finding is that the people who are really thriving and the most successful are those who are coming back at different stages of their lives, whether they're, they start at one point as a younger person, they get promoted in management, and they need more tools around leadership, and they're a CEO, and they're giving these high-impact presentations. So, I'm looking, and we're looking at ways to continually be connected to our customers and to provide them with solutions that will really give them what they need on an ongoing basis. So,
no, it's great. And, the organization continues to thrive here in 2019. I know people sometimes say, how can it be over 100 years old? I bet you reflect back and sometimes say, how is that possible?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. It's powerful to think about Dale Carnegie, this incredible inventor, if you will, this person who was an innovator relative to human performance, and what he started over 100 years ago in a classroom in New York City, and the book that he wrote that's been a bestseller for over 80 years. I mean, he really had a deep understanding about people and the things that can make people successful and that can thrive. And it's truly an honor and a privilege, and it's humbling to be leading this company in this time, this really exciting time where we have opportunities that we've never had before. And I know that Dale Carnegie, if you could see this, I think would be hopefully in awe of all that is happening in the world and happening with this company.
I know that there's a new headquarters. Tell us a little bit about that.
Actually, we do have an office in New York City. Our headquarters is in Melville, New York. We're actually about an hour outside of New York City in Long Island, and we moved from the town of Hopog. But it's a beautiful office that also has a showcase. We call this the Dale Carnegie office. Which is, we've got many things. Dale Carnegie's desk, the desk that he used, the typewriter he used to write How to Win Friends and Influence People, rare photographs and books and things that were important to him. So, we really wanted to maintain a presence here. We also do have an office in New York City, and which is relocating as well. So it's an exciting time for our team and our people.
As we wrap up this show, I just want to talk about the bottom line, which is the end of the white paper, in which you say, achieving the full potential of AI depends on a successful partnership between humans and machines. For leaders, encouraging a positive attitude towards AI projects will be an important first step. Strong trust in leadership. Transparency in how AI algorithms work, and confidence in their ability to transition to their skills, to those needed now and in the future, will go a long way in helping employees become advocates for what we can and will be done with AI. I think that sums it up. And so as we go to break, remember, those who trust leadership, feel they understand AI, and have soft skills trainings are three times more likely to feel extremely positive about the changes AI will bring. Keep your mind open to change all the time. It is only by examining and re-examining your opinions and ideas that you can progress. Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today to join us, to share about the new technology, AI, and how we're preparing people for success in the era of AI, for taking an opportunity to just be on the show from your busy schedule.
You're welcome, David. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and enjoyed the show. Thank you.
You can, of course, go to hrpowerhour.com right after the site. You'll get information on Joe directly. You can connect to the link. We'll certainly have a link to the white paper, and you'll be able to see all the information directly and how to contact the organization. Joe, thank you. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Unlike most legal situations, aggrieved employees cannot sue an employer directly in court. Hi, I'm Ben Ford from VeralDana's Labor and Employment Group. If someone doesn't pay your bill or trespasses on your property, you can take them directly to court. In fact, for small claims, you can be in court and in front of a judge within a matter of weeks. But employment discrimination law is different. Title VII forms the backbone of most anti-discrimination law in the United States. Back in the 1960s, Congress was worried about a massive influx of lawsuits flooding the courts. So they included a requirement that in order to seek most kinds of damages, aggrieved employees must first bring their claim to a government agency and give that agency a chance to mediate or adjudicate a solution. That law endures today. Most employment discrimination cases begin as agency actions filed in either the Maine Human Rights Commission or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is the federal equivalent. If the agency cannot resolve the matter in 180 days, the aggrieved person may request a 180-day right to sue letter, which allows them to file a complaint in court. Commission complaints, or what we call charges, are extremely important. Unless you are a very experienced HR professional, these are not something you are going to want to handle yourself. If you have received a charge of discrimination from the EEOC or any other state agency, give VeralDana a call.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.